Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm going to tell
you what you need to know. You need to know. Applause. Custom Sight and Sound is proud to bring you our need to know. The best in the business. That is Applause Custom Sight and Sound. Talking about rocket fast Wi-Fi networks all over your house, inside and even outside. You want to do some work on a beautiful spring day outside? Applause Custom Sight and Sound can get you the rocket fast Wi-Fi even outside. Trust me, I got everybody at home, working at home, doing school at home, maybe. You need the best Wi-Fi around, and Applause Custom Sight and Sound can do it. Smart home technology, yep. In-home theaters, yes. Drop-down screens out of the ceiling, sure, they build that. Surround sound, all of it. It's Applause Custom Sight and Sound, the best in the business. 913-498-1183 on the web at applausetheater.com. All right, biggest news of the day was, of course, from the Kansas City Chiefs. It started with the first question to Patrick Mahomes, letting everyone know what his status is for the game.
Yeah, I actually just got out of the protocol. The week has just been a bunch of testing, a bunch of different things, just to make sure that I'm good to go and there's no lingering effects and anything like that. But everything's been good, and I went through what all the three, four different doctors have said, and everything's looked well, and I'm out of it now.
That is music to Chiefs fans' ears, is it not? It's what everybody wanted to hear. It's what they got right away. And Patrick Mahomes will play for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, nice to get it out of the way early today, right? I think I said this earlier, and I'll reiterate it. I believe that if we're up to Andy Reid, he would have just absolutely left that thing dangling.
I think he would like to have had that dangle until about 5:35 Central Time on Sunday. But, you know, when they first started off saying they were going to have a quarterback, we thought might be at the end. To their credit, as soon as he was cleared, they popped him in. They didn't wait to the end. It was Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and then as soon as they got the word, I'm assuming Patrick Mahomes was in there.
I disagree. I think
too much credit.
They popped him in based upon his post lift or post. You know, practice stuff and his meeting times. They popped him in when he could pop in. My personal opinion is that the league is the one that said, you're going to have the real guy, right? If he's going to play,
I buy that,
then he's got to go. So I think that's you know, significant. It's not significant. I get coaches. I mean, Andy Reid's job is to win football games, and if he can play a little possum, you know, not let them know who's coming, then all for it. Hey, Andy Reid's paid to win, right? That's what Chiefs fans want, not necessarily to give information. But I'm pretty sure because the league takes over the media scheduling now. They're involved in this. And so where Andy Reid can push around, that's not fair, but Andy Reid is clearly the boss. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Chiefs PR department, the NFL will push back. And yeah. I'm quite confident that they're the ones that said, the real guy's got to go. Who's it going to be? If you know it's going to be him, then he better be on that podium.
But if Sean McDermott spent 1 second this week preparing for Chad Henne, he should be fired. Remember last year with the Packers, they were playing them. Well, gosh, is it going to be Matt Moore? Is it going to be Mahomes? I'm like, I don't think the Packers prepared 1 second for Patrick Mahomes. That was the case. I don't think the Bills were confused by any of Reed's subterfuge this week. I think they probably had the right answer from the get-go.
I do believe, though, you can prepare like that. That you should prepare for Patrick Mahomes, and then you cross off 40% of what you prepared. Right. If Chad Henne goes. So, I'm with you. Andy Reid actually went first, so keep in mind that he told us that Patrick Mahomes and Bashaud Breeland were still in the protocol. And did we get word on Breeland? I'm sorry. I haven't had time during the breaks to look. You might look for that, Curtis, see if we've gotten anything official. Because if the official injury report is out, because PR basically said you might be able to glean the answer based upon if he's listed as limited. If he's listed as limited, he was still in the protocol, at least at practice. If he was not limited in practice, then he's out of the protocol. So we'll have Curtis look for that, because that should be out by now. So Curtis will look for that. First, here's Andy Reid. He had not told us that Mahomes was ready to go. I asked Andy Reid how much Patrick Mahomes would be affected by not getting the normal amount of reps this week.
Yeah, listen, I think he's good. I mean, he knows the offense well enough and has had enough reps where he'd be fine if that's, you know, if everything works out okay here. So he should be fine.
Okay. Should be fine. He's
and Bashaud Breeland listed as limited today and questionable for Sunday.
Okay, so he is still in the concussion protocol. He has not passed it the same way Patrick Mahomes has. So stay tuned on that. We'll see if we get an update before the game, before the inactives, which will come down actually after we're off the air with the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show. We're going to do that from 11 to 2 so you can hear the NFC Championship game right here on your home of the National Football League, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then, of course, you'll hear the AFC Championship game. Very proud to bring you that. It'll be here on 810 as well. All the biggest sporting events always on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A little after 4 o'clock on Sunday for the inactives, for people who don't care.
Right. Follow the 810 Twitter account. Our Twitter accounts will all be tweeting out what that ends up being. So make sure you're following us on Twitter. Patrick Mahomes got asked questions about Eric Bieniemy, asked why he hadn't gotten a job yet. He said, I don't know. I think it's ridiculous. I said, look, Deshaun Watson supposedly said he's interested in Eric Bieniemy. I asked Patrick Mahomes if he might speak, if he'd already spoke to Deshaun Watson or if he was going to speak to Deshaun Watson about Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, I talked to him last offseason. It kind of during the season, you don't talk to those guys as much because obviously you're trying to go out there and win football games. Maybe after the season, I might shoot him a text or something like that. But I kind of let that stuff kind of handle itself. I know Coach Bieniemy has done everything the right way and prepared himself to take whatever opportunity that is. And if it happens, I'm very happy for him. If it doesn't, he'll continue to grind and be a great offense coordinator for us. So I'm just happy that he's getting these opportunities to go out there and interview, and hopefully one of these teams will be smart enough to take him in to be the head coach of their football team.
You talked to him last offseason. I wonder if that kind of planted the seed, like, hey, you know, Deshaun Watson's like, yeah, my guy sucks. Oh, dude, Coach Reed's great. Eric Bieniemy's great. Is Bieniemy great? Yeah, he's great, man. He's awesome. He does this. He does that. He does this. He does that. Those quarterbacks talk.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why Adam Gase is just absolutely 50 miles of broken glass. He has just been blown up as far as his career goes because guys talk. You know, this thinking you can, you know, just bully guys around or lie to guys or just be a big pain in the ass as a coach and you're going to get hired again. Man, these players, they have juice, and particularly the quarterbacks have a lot of juice. And if you get sideways with them, you're out. I think Bill O'Brien deserves another shot in the NFL. I don't know what happened with him and Deshaun Watson, but his four division titles, maybe he's going to go the college route because he's like, I don't want to deal with, you know, millionaire players. You know, I want to be able to tell guys what to do and have them have to do it. But even that in college is different.
I'm seeing this now from Mike Garofalo. The Texans are exploring the idea of Josh McCown as head coach, but would surround him with at least one former head coach on the staff.
Josh McCown?
As Eric Bieniemy goes, still here.
Josh McCown?
Josh McCown.
Look up what he was doing while we move forward. What the hell has he been doing since he quit playing? I'd be interested to know that. I've been on a lot of stations around the country, all of them asking me about the Chiefs not winning in the 10-game win streak, the last seven, all being by 6 points or less. It comes up with every single station. Like clockwork, I asked Travis Kelce, okay, here it is. Hey, this is what I'm hearing. You answer it, right? Why are so many of the wins been by within one score?
I don't think we put our best game out there. So, I mean, there's obviously those red flags or those opinions are thrown out there for a reason. And it's on us to make sure that we go out there and play our best. Obviously, you know, you don't want a tight game. You want to put up 50 on everybody, but at the same time, you know, you got to respect the team that you're going against. And I think right now we've gradually started to become a better team altogether, where we play off of each other better. Offensive, defensive, and special teams is everything starting to come together like we know how to play, and you know a lot of that has to do with the coaching that we have and the leadership that we have in this building. It's second to nobody, and I'm excited to get out there and prove ourselves right and show everybody that that we are who we are.
I like my theory. They didn't feel a need to blow anybody out. That's not what ultimately is going to measure this team. What's going to measure this team is winning a championship, and I think that's why some of the games were closer. I'm going to stand by that. I like the Chiefs to win this game and win it big over the Buffalo Bills. I'm just going to keep firing. I know. Take it with a grain of salt. Tell me I'm a moron. I will say this. Every time I've said it, because I didn't say it against the Chargers in that mailed-in game, but every time I've said it, they've at least won.
Yes.
So I ain't fixing what ain't broke when it comes to the big picture of things. Did you find what's he been doing?
Josh McCown was actually on the Texans roster late last year. He technically retired at the end of the 2019 season. Houston signed him to a two-year contract in November from the Eagles practice squad. So he has actually been a player. He has not played this year, but he's listed on Wikipedia, in fact, as current quarterback. So.
Yeah, That's awful.
Yeah, the expanded COVID. I mean, I wonder if that Deshaun Watson's like, this is the guy who ought to be coaching. Like, if he likes him and he's like, this is the guy. And they're doing whatever it takes to keep Deshaun Watson happy. I don't know. Stay tuned. The NFL is a screwed up place if Josh McCown gets a job with no experience over Eric Bieniemy. I will tell you that. Joke. Daniel Sorensen, always around the ball. Listen, he's, you know, been a tremendous Chief. Made some big plays. Some big plays that I think people don't realize are big plays. Players realize they're big plays. Hardcore football people do. I talk about that tackle on Derrick Henry last year. I thought it was a huge play in that game. You couldn't find it if you went through the game, the play-by-play chart on the game book. Trust me, it was. Makes the big play, the big stop to create the fumble and stop Cleveland down there. You know, he talked about, you know, how much time. He was asked by Matt Derrick, you know, how much time? You play all four phases, special teams, then you play the defense. Like, how much time does it take? And he kind of poo-pooed it away. And I said, I think you're being a little modest there, right? All four phases on special teams and playing on defense, and you're always around the ball. Like, there's a lot of time that goes into this, right? Like, to study all that, to always know it. You know, I said, take us through, like, what kind of time are you putting in, right? What kind of study time do you have to put in to have that kind of knowledge of the game where you're just always around the ball?
Yeah, you know, I would answer that question with kind of a bigger picture. It's years, right? It's years of study, years of practice, years of pounding away, doing the right things, technique, and study goes along with that. You form habits and routines and you stick to them and you find out what works and you learn from guys around you and you continue to try to get better. Each year, you know, I feel like you improve and you learn new things and you can adapt and grow. And that's kind of what I try and do day in and day out. So it's more of a daily thing, and that builds up over time to eventually give you, you know, some real results.
I like it. Basically experience, right? But yep. I still think that was a pretty modest answer. He clearly is either, you know, is both a combination of a bright guy and a lot of study, because, you know, he plays a lot of different positions. He plays all over the field. He plays as a safety in the back. He plays as a linebacker up front. You know, I've talked to the position coaches. He sits in on linebacker meetings with Matt House, you know, to understand their drops and how they want to, you know, what his responsibilities are when he plays up as a linebacker. There's a lot that goes into it. Daniel Sorensen is one of those guys that, you know, really makes it all come together, and I think very impressive. So good to hear from Daniel Sorensen today. 86 years old. That is how old Hank Aaron was. He passed away today. Hammer and Hank, unbelievable numbers. You look at his page, the black ink is ridiculous. If people don't know the sports reference pages, and back in the day, the old school baseball encyclopedia, you'd look at it and any stat that led the league was in bold, called black ink. And his page is just smothered with black ink. It's amazing the things he did. And even now they do it kind of like a, what do? They do a highlight as well if it's like an all-time best. And he's got a number of those, almost 2,300 RBI, 755, 755 home runs, 3,800 hits, 600 doubles. One of the greats. And actually, even though he gets tons of acclaim, he's underrated. He's better than people think. Here is the call on April 8th, 1974, as Vin Scully on Dodgers radio called Hank Aaron, breaking Babe Ruth's home run record of 714 when he hit his 715th.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother. He threw his arms around his father, and as he left the home plate area, his mother came running across the grass, threw her arms around his neck, kissed him for all she was worth.
A couple Hall of Famers on that call. How good was that?
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Hank Aaron. One of the true greats, and a guy that endured so much and yet just kept going. You should not have to endure what that man endured, all right? And that's what we should all be working towards in this country and across the globe. We'll take a break. We come back. Kevin Harlan, the best in the business, joins us next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
It is said that he was born under the open sky. At the base of the glacier. That is not true.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kevin Harlan on the program is presented by Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. 913-384-2680 or rbuckroofing.com. And by Metcalf CarStar. If you get in a fender bender, call the experts in collision repair. Metcalf CarStar in Overland Park. Go to carstar.com and search Metcalf CarStar. Metcalf CarStar. Relax, we'll take it from here.
He calls the NBA.
Game! Series! Toronto is won!
The NFL.
He digs, he turns, he dives! It is a touchdown!
March Madness.
There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
How many jobs Kevin got?
Somebody stop that
man.
Here
comes the blue coat.
Oh, Kevin. They got him.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. We're finishing strong as we always do on a Friday. Greatness has descended upon us. The great Kevin Harlan joins us on the T-Mobile guest line. We're not worthy, Kevin. Thank you for giving us some
now,
of your time today.
You rascal, come on now. We are brothers in the broadcasting business, which doesn't say a whole lot, but nonetheless we are, right? We are linked arm in arm as we march down the world of the broadcasting avenues of the world. Hey, yeah, listen, I've been thinking about this weekend, and, you know, it's how exciting. A third consecutive AFC Championship game in Kansas City, chance to go to a second consecutive Super Bowl. But I was thinking as I was widening the lens here just a little bit on this weekend, and I know you've talked about it all week long, and we're so Chiefs-centric here, as we should be. This is the defending champion, special quarterback, special team coach, all of it. But in terms of just the sport and where we as fans of the sport stand. Think of this weekend. We, in the first game at Lambeau Field, have got two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks who are in the fourth quarters of their careers and have both won championships. Historic numbers statistically, and are in the conversation for the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. And their chapter, final chapter perhaps for Brady, who I think will play another year, maybe two more. Rodgers, who's probably got four or five. But the point is, these guys, you know, Rodgers is 37, Brady's 43. And then in our nightcap, we've got two emerging future Brady/Rodgers type quarterbacks. We've got Hall of Famers down the road in Mahomes. And I think Josh Allen, who is in the MVP conversation, has answered every question, checked most every box. And we've got these young gunslingers in the second game. In the first game, we've got these Hall of Famers to be. And can we think of two better stadiums in the entire National Football League than Lambeau Field and Arrowhead Stadium? I mean, clearly, two with the most personality, the most charisma, history, instant recognition by any NFL fan of what they are, not a cookie-cutter stadium. You instantly know what stadium you're looking at. So we got these venues on Championship Sunday, two teams that made the first Super Bowl against each other on display with a chance to relight that possibility in Super Bowl 55, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two emerging superstars, perhaps Hall of Famers to be. I mean, could we get any more on a Championship Sunday in the NFL than we've got coming up? I can't recall ever being more excited for a weekend in the NFL than I am for this weekend.
No, I think you make a great point. I think it's quite possible. You know, Aaron Rodgers against Kurt Warner in that NFC divisional game, I think it was, maybe it was a wild card game, was the greatest quarterbacking back and forth I've ever seen. And now looking back, it's two Hall of Famers, right? I mean, a great historical matchup. Well, we know you're right. We know we've got that in the other one. But I think there's a very strong possibility we're watching two Hall of Famers, like you said, in the second one. And we just don't, they just don't have enough career to know that. But we're looking at two guys that look like this may be the first of the Manning Brady competitions. Mahomes Allen may be what goes back and forth. Certainly looks like that right now. Allen, to me, looks like he's got a little more staying power than maybe Baker Mayfield, who was the flavor of the month a couple of years ago, Lamar Jackson, who was the flavor of the month last year. He looks more like what the traditional Hall of Fame quarterback looks like. So does Patrick Mahomes. And so, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And you mentioned it, two AFL rivals, Buffalo and the Chiefs going at it, you know, great history to both those franchises. And, of course, great history with the Packers. Well, and then the Bucks will be there too, right? That's the only thing that's the only part of all the dynamics. And I've even, you've got the old master against the pupil with Andy Reid versus McDermott. You've got a crusty, colorful Bruce Arians going up against a young gun, David LaFleur. I know they're not historic coaches, but they are guys that, you know, have made their niche. The only thing that doesn't fit is it's the Bucks. If it were the but Cowboys Brady. Or the Giants. Yeah, bro, Brady, absolutely. But if it were the Cowboys or the Giants, you know, or, you know, one of the more storied franchises, it would be absolutely perfect. The only thing that's kind of missing is just the Bucs are kind of a turd franchise over the world, over the history of the game. But yeah, Brady picks up for it.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And I think that last line that you said, I am on board with. Brady makes up for it because Brady, you know, changes the dynamic. And what is great about the NFL is we have had scenarios like this in the past, where great quarterbacks have established themselves in the team they were drafted by. They stayed there the majority of their career, and then they moved on. You know, whether it was Favre, Montana, Peyton Manning, you know, now Tom Brady, and all have found a degree of success. I think that's remarkable, to be quite frank, that they're able to go from one team to another, light and fill whatever they need to do at that new destination for a team that is looking for all the star power that quarterback can bring it. And they're answering. Like, I mean, Rivers took the Colts to the playoffs. We know what Montana did in Kansas City. We know what Favre did with the Minnesota Vikings to the NFC Championship game when he went to Minnesota after all those years in Green Bay. We know what Peyton Manning did when he left the Colts and went to the Denver Broncos. It's one of the few sports that I have found the translation really holds water. Like you can take a great quarterback and put that quarterback on another team, even in the last stages of their careers and still get some magic, something that you bet you would get if you made it that far, and those quarterbacks have delivered. So to me, you know, it's nice to have kind of an outlier. And, yeah, Giants would be great. Dallas would be great. They don't have the quarterbacks. This is Tom Brady. This is a guy who made the biggest offseason headlines, and now he goes up to Lambeau to take on Rodgers, who should have been probably in three or four other Super Bowls and has a chance to make only his second. He's been to one. He's won one. So this weekend has it checks virtually every box you could want as a fan. There's going to be, I think, cold weather and precipitation in both cities, in both Kansas City and in Green Bay. That just adds to the aura and the framing of the game. And natural grass fields. I cannot wait. I just absolutely cannot wait.
No, I agree with you, and it is going to be a special weekend and a historic weekend in the NFL. We're talking to Kevin Harlan, of course, the voice of America from CBS, TNT, Westwood One. He will have the call of the game for the Packers and the Bucks, and you'll hear that right here on your home of the National Football League, Sports Radio 810 WHB, followed by hearing the AFC Championship game. We're very proud to bring that to you. The Chiefs and Bills will be right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, so a whole afternoon of football. We're going to do the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show early, 11 to 2, so that then everybody can enjoy. We'll get you ready for the Chiefs all morning. Then we'll turn it over to NFL football, the two conference championship games. So we can't encourage you enough, if you are out and about, you're listening, or you want to just hear the best call of the game, Kevin Harlan will have it for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, Kevin. You know that Packer fan base, right? Better than anybody. Your father's great history, great work he did there, and being around it. What you know? It's a re-romance with Aaron Rodgers this year, right? With the Packer fan base. Not that they ever turn their back on him, but man, they're truly in love with him again. What happens if he doesn't win, though?
Well, I think they've gone across that bridge. I think they've come full circle with Rodgers. You know, he got there and back of Favre. No one wanted to see Favre leave. They knew he was drafted in the first round. Rodgers was to take Favre's place. That's always kind of a tough position to be in. And so he and then Favre, you know, kind of famously did not necessarily, you know, chum up. They were not buddies when they were there. Favre was very protective of his turf, and I get it, as is Rodgers now with the quarterback the Packers just drafted in the first round this past draft. So, you know, you want ownership. It's never yours. You're only a caretaker at that position. Green Bay has been blessed with, you know, a succession of quarterbacks from Bart Starr to Brett Favre and now to Aaron Rodgers. Few organizations have, you know, one Hall of Fame quarterback. They're going to have three of them, and almost in succession. And that's pretty cool. But it's only a place that you're keeping warm for the next guy to take your place. And you know, Rodgers is a different kind of guy. He's not Brady. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's a different kind of guy. A little bit more studious, a little bit more intellectual. Thinks outside the box. Not afraid to put his neck on the line for causes, social causes he sees fit, and worth his voice and backing. And a lot of people, Patrick does that certainly too. But he's just been kind of a different type of, you know, Favre was a country boy, kind of belly up to the bar. Let's have a couple beers and some wings and slap guys on the back and get in our truck and drive on down and we'll go play some football in the backyard or in the field. You know, that he was a country guy, and Rodgers is not that kind of guy. So he's a different kind of guy for a little Midwestern town in the upper Midwest, Rust Belt area in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, I mean, right off the bat, It seems like kind of an awkward fit, and you know, Rodgers has been not necessarily a rough guy to get to embrace for the fans, but I think, as we all do, when you get older, when you're more in a relaxed atmosphere, maybe know that your place in history is set, there's something that happens to your demeanor. You become a little bit more calm. You're maybe not as jealous. You're not as paranoid. You're not as you know, hypersensitive to comparisons to this guy or this person or whatever, that performance. I think all of us, the longer we're in a situation, the more we accumulate. You know, we all seem to find a degree of, you know, I had my time. I've been there. I've staked my claim. I think Rodgers is in that place right now. And the second thing is, I think finally he has found a coach that he is really – they're about the same age, Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. They're about the same age. They think alike offensively. It is a quarterback-friendly system that they run in Green Bay, but it's taken over a year for Rodgers to feel comfortable with it. You know, we talked last week, Saran, about Patrick and how, you know, maybe the greatest gift he's probably had two great gifts aside from his God-given gifts. But number one, the first year to be under Alex Smith. I mean, I don't know if we can stress that, how important it was for that. Favre and Rodgers never had that kind of relationship. Smith and Mahomes, I sense it was deeper. It was more, you know, it was a much more comprehensive and tangible relationship. And Mahomes truly was a willing learner. And then to be lucky enough to have a guy like Reeves, Andy Reeves' system has always been one that has been quarterback friendly, but to have the right quarterback to run the system like Andy Reid's system is kind of a shot in the dark. It really wasn't there with maybe some of the previous guys he had. It is with Mahomes, and it's the perfect intersection of quarterback who is moldable with the skill set that can make the Reeds' offensive plays work the way they do. That is what Rodgers is finding with LaFleur's system up in Green Bay. He's finding a system that is so compatible, and they've found middle ground. And those situations are rare. And when they happen, they've got to be appreciated. And that's even another aspect of this weekend. Arians is getting Brady in his 21st year. Brady is getting a quarterback-savvy head coach. And they've had to find middle ground, and that has been fun to watch. And then finally, you got, you know, Josh Allen at Buffalo, who has just needed the right parts. But the difference with Allen is, and I just did his game, Trent and I just did his game a couple weeks ago, as I mentioned last week. He is a different kind of guy. He loves the small town Buffalo field. He's from a small town. He has, you know, got friendly coaches. Brian Daboll is the offensive coordinator with the Bills, and he's tailor-made this offense to what Allen does best. And they run him sometimes, and they set him up in the pocket sometimes, and they've got the right kind of weapons around him. He's got a deep receiving core. You've talked about it all week. You know, they've got everything in place. But this kid has really, just on self-reliance alone, has taken himself in his third year to a position where, as we began our conversation here a couple minutes ago, said, you know, he has all the makings of a quarterback that can be historically relevant. And that is pretty big to say about where he is and how he began, question marks when he arrived, and where he is now. And the fact that we're talking about Josh Allen in the same sentence for what he did this year with Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, that to me is huge.
No doubt. How much in your conversations that you get such great access to coaches and everything, how much do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to be affected by not being able to be a full go in practice? Is it one of those things? Like my theory is, you know, 1 week you're fine. You know, if you miss, you try to play after not practicing 3-4 weeks, then it starts to build up. You start to lose that sharpness. But if it's 1 week of just, you know, going light in practice all week, but then he's able to play, we shouldn't see a noticeable drop-off? Or do you hear that, no, if quarterbacks don't get to practice, boy, look out, they're not going to be sharp?
Well, I would only say, and Patrick is a different cat, right? Like, this guy is, we've not seen a quarterback like him, and may never in our lifetimes. So I do know that the great quarterbacks, the Mannings, the Bradys, the Rodgers, they are all rep guys, some heavier reps than others. But the bottom line is they're all rep guys. The greats are always rep guys. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, like in any sport, Tiger Woods on the practice range, all about reps, all about reps. And I would think on the outside looking in and not knowing the way they're constructing practice, and we really all don't really know exactly how many reps he's taking. I got to believe for a young quarterback, reps are vital. That's not to say that he can have fewer reps, 75%, 60% of what he would normally take, and not be the same guy. What I do think is that the game plan, which in normal circumstances, with total health, regular week of practice, would include a series of moving pocket plays, runs, options that would use his legs more than I think they're going to use it this weekend. I think just logically, you would have to say that Reed and Bieniemy will construct an offensive game plan that will probably reel in the number of running plays that they would probably normally have in and alternates for him to call. And I do think you've got to protect him. We're dealing with nerves, necks, concussion, brain. That's a whole different thing than a tweak hamstring, a bad ankle, which, by the way, we're not even talking about the injury to the top toe of his foot. No one's even talking about that. The guy is not 100%. Neck, concussion, nerve, foot. A lot on the plate.
Neck, concussion, nerve, foot. That's just the way you deliver it. I love how it sounds. We're talking to Kevin Harlan here in the program. Busy weekend for Kevin Harlan as he is in the midst of the NBA and the NFL playoffs. We get to our Final Four so he can get back to his other gig, right? We know this is your primary gig. Friday's here
this
in the program.
This is my primary gig. You better believe the one I look forward to the most.
Yeah, the side gigs we'll let you get back to. Our Final Four brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours to see you quickly, Kevin. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this. Is Dan Campbell a success with the Detroit Lions? Quite an opening press conference. Is that ultimately lead to success with the Lions?
I don't know how long that lasts. I love the enthusiasm. I love the determination. He's highly thought of around the NFL. He's had snippets of head coaching responsibility in the past. But a six-year contract raised eyebrows across the NFL. And I would love to see Matthew Stafford get a coaching staff that he believes in that can take him in his final chapter to a position where they can really showcase the terrific individual career he's had. But you know what? We didn't know much about a lot of these guys, whether it's Stefanski. We think Robert Saleh with the Jets is going to be right. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
6 years is a long time, though. It really is. Too long.
That sounds a little goofy for a pro coach. I was like, oh, that's not good. That's not good. That's like Gunther Cunningham on steroids. We'll see. We'll see. I might be wrong. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. God bless anyone who takes the Lions head coaching job. All right, do the Nets win a title with this trio, all three of them that they have? Do they win a title with all three of them?
Well,
can't move one of them for other parts. It's got to be with all three of them.
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to think that Kyrie will, whatever demons he's battling, whatever issues he's got off the floor, and they sound significant, his handle is as good as any I've ever seen in professional basketball. He is a special talent, coupled with Harden, but the defensive efficiency, the defensive rating of the Brooklyn Nets is dropping significantly, which you expect with Harden. That being said, when Harden wants to play defense, if he's got a championship-caliber team, he may change his ways and become a defender that is more consistent. I think he only does it when he wants to. I believe in Durant. I think that Nash is the right coach. I hope their underbelly is deep enough. I don't know after those three what they've got. They got significant odds against the Lakers. They still got to get past Milwaukee. Miami is looming. Philadelphia is going to be scary. I'm going to say yes. I feel funny saying it, but I will say, I think they, if they stay as they're constituted in the next couple years with those three, all level-headed, I could easily see them winning a title. Yes.
Yep. All right. Is Deshaun Watson a Houston Texan in 21?
If Eric Bieniemy is the head coach, I think the chances are greater that he would stay there and feed off of what Eric has done with Mahomes and this offense. So I would say if Bieniemy is the guy, yes.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I think that's the right answer as well. All right, and finally, I just got to know, where in your career, your great list of accomplishments, does becoming the voice of a soup rank? I can only imagine. I'm assuming 1, 2. Where does being the voice of Chunky Soup rank in your career list of accomplishments?
Well, I don't know. That Fanatics commercial, my God, you want to just turn the sound down, don't you? Oh, my, just like, oh, stop it. It's like dripping water. Campbell's is a pretty all-American brand, I think. And yeah. My wife and I make these decisions on stuff like that. The Fanatics thing is just fun, and the NBA and NFL are both associated closely with Fanatics. The Campbell Soup thing came out of the blue. They called this past summer and asked if I would do it, and I said yes. And so that's been kind of fun. They're kind of like a blue-chip brand. Campbell Soup yep. is kind of all-American, and that's kind of why I did it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great. And I love the fact that my kids have heard this segment enough that they go, Dad, that sounds like your friend that you talk to on Fridays. Because it is, honey.
I know.
That man is a star. He is the voice of not only video games, but also soups. It is the pinnacle of the broadcast career. Evan, you are the man. Have a great call. We'll certainly enjoy having you on the station, calling the Packers and Bucks. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, pal. Thanks so much. Let's all have a wonderful weekend. Safe weekend. Enjoy the fact that the NFL has shockingly gotten this far. It's a miracle, I think, in so many ways in the pandemic world we're in. But let's all be safe and enjoy this wonderful weekend. And I'll look forward to talking to you next Friday. And we could have some kind of conversation, couldn't we? We could have I will look forward to that. We'll have a lot on the plate, and that'll be fun to digest. I'll look
Absolutely.
Forward to it. And we'll enjoy that. Thank you so much, Seren. Take care.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. 2012 All-Star Futures game at Kauffman Stadium. I asked for the two starting pitchers in that game.
Couple of Royals. One was in the Royal system. One would be in the Royal system, right? If I'm not mistaken, Jake Odorizzi and Yordano Ventura.
Yep. Odorizzi for the U.S. team, Yordano Ventura for the world team. Of course, Yordano Ventura died 4 years ago today in that terrible car crash down in his homeland of the Dominican Republic.
Get your Joe's Kansas City Barbecue right now. Use the app to order, the easiest way to get it on your way home. Absolutely fantastic barbecue. Send it anywhere in the country, joeskc.com. Their incredible ability to send it everywhere is phenomenal. And for the kicker, we'll leave you with this about Yordano Ventura. It's one of the things that I think is always going to be something you wonder, right? What would the Royals have been if they had Yordano? A big part of taking that next step, or maybe transitioning the way Dayton Moore wanted to. They knew they were going to take a step back. Maybe they didn't know they were going to take 3 or 4 steps back. And had they had Yordano Ventura, and had he become the pitcher, I'm going to tell you, everybody in that organization thought he was going to be a perennial all-star. And he certainly had the stuff. He certainly had the velocity. He certainly had the swing and miss stuff. I always wonder, would they have transitioned a lot better and a lot faster had Yordano Ventura not been lost in that car crash? Sad times. Listen, enjoy the games, everybody.